And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
Good. What's up with the Rick roll?
We just had a little technical difficulty that I've never seen before in my life.
Oh,
so
I thought you were like, let's mix it up on a Monday morning.
Why would you not?
We had to make shift it and gonna try to figure this out.
But did you choose that song?
Yeah, I just picked the first song in front.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a little different vibe. I don't hate it.
Rick roll to start on the Monday morning. We appreciate it. Yeah. Michelle, good morning. How are you?
Doing good. Gotta figure this out. But doing good, guys. Nice weekend. Listen, I love the Cincinnati Bengals, and that's all I need to say. They're amazing.
They're pretty good.
I'm rooting for them all the way.
They're good.
Joe Burrow
very good.
Is an absolute stud. And you're talking about last year, you get to the Super Bowl, you're on the road, you take down Kansas City in the AFC title game. You'll have an opportunity to do the same thing again this year, going on the road to Kansas City after really a wire-to-wire performance yesterday in Buffalo that was impressive to watch. I mean, he scored 17 in the first half. And then after they made it 17-10, the long drive to take them down the field and make it 24-10, I mean, I thought that was as important as any other drive in the game. Joe Mixon was unstoppable on that drive. And just the way that they played that game, Burrow was great, and he made some big-time throws in that game. Obviously, Chase and Higgins are awesome. But Mixon running the ball, and really, to me, like the defense of the Bengals, not just in that game, but really – the way they played in the second half of the season, Cincinnati's darn good, and they showed it yesterday in Buffalo.
Yeah, and three of the final four, I think you can definitely point to, because like to me, the Bills had those opportunities. You know, Burrow hits them early, and you're like, boy, a hole like that in that weather, it's tough, but they ran the ball at will on them in the second half. Joe Mixon, they could not deal with him. So three of the four teams sitting here, running the football, playing defense, huge part of the equation, bigger for some than others because, like you said, I mean, Burrow is also Joe Burrow. But the Bengals are built to do stuff. And also, maybe I'm taking a little bit of a leap, but I think when you look at the Bengals now, can you look back at last year? For anybody who says, like, the Titans weren't, like, built to win a Super Bowl last year, and I know it was early for the Bengals and all that, but, I mean, and maybe you could look at that as, like, that's how they got started, but, yeah.
They're pretty good.
The Titans last year were good enough to, you know, to do stuff also.
Yeah, I would say so, too. And I don't know, like, Joe Burrow already at this point in his career, I mean, think about the couple. I mean, he gets hurt his first year, and they were awful. And then last year is his second full season. Now he's in his third full season. And you're talking about a trip to a Super Bowl and now at least an AFC championship game on the road at Kansas City with a chance to go to another Super Bowl. I mean, and that's – and we'll get into to this part of it a little bit later, but that's what the Titans are staring down the barrel of. I mean, it feels like Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are annually in the AFC title game because annually in the AFC title game. And now you've got Joe Burrow – looking like he's not going anywhere anytime soon. Well, you know, that's what the Titans are staring directly down the barrel of is those type of quarterbacks in the AFC. And yesterday, another good reminder of that. I mean, look, Josh Allen, I think, is a really good player, a great quarterback, and can't get out of the divisional round right now.
Yeah. Now, the two people who I think probably warrant a lot of discussion, one is him. And certainly I was listening to Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, you know, Josh Allen or Dak Prescott, who would you take? I mean, all kinds of ways you can look at this stuff because Dak was underwhelming yesterday for sure. But I thought Josh Allen was too. And I don't know. It's really interesting. I mean, look, I picked them to win it all this year, so I was wrong on them. Also, the other person, does Zach Taylor get credit ever at any point? Because I feel like maybe he probably should have some. I just feel like he's one of those coaches who no one has really wanted to give much credit to.
Yeah.
You know? But, I mean, they've built a good team. But I think, Sean McDermott said yesterday, and I know this is like a – this is a kind of a cliche thing. A lot of coaches say it when they lose, and it doesn't mean anything. You know, he said, I got out coached. But actually, I think he is exactly right yesterday.
Yeah. And I thought – we were talking about this before the show started – I thought yesterday was another great example of, like, the home field advantage that Buffalo has. The crowd's great and all that stuff. But when you can't run the ball and it's really cold and it's snowing and all these things, I don't know that Buffalo is really built for their home field. We've talked about that before, and I thought yesterday was another good example of that. Like, at some point, they're going to have to figure out you got to be able to run the ball with somebody besides your quarterback. Like, you just have to. If you can't do it, you're asking a whole lot for that offense to go out there and win. And really, like, you know, they were bad yesterday. If you go and look at the numbers in the second half of the season for Buffalo, like, the offense, especially toward the end, wasn't all that great. I mean, they're turning the ball over left and right. It wasn't really crisp coming down the stretch for the Bills.
Yeah, and they've got, I mean, you know, those two receivers plus Knox, you know, tremendous personnel there. That's the thing. I thought that's one of the reasons I picked the Bills going into the year, because they got Saffold and it looked like they were going to try to be more balanced and committed to that. And it just hasn't worked out. And then when you don't stop it on your home field like they couldn't in the second half yesterday, you're toast. So, I mean, look, it's a passing league, and the Chiefs are the ultimate example of if you can do it like that, who cares?
Yeah.
Run the ball just to, you know, kill clock when you're already up 20 in the fourth quarter or whatever. Show it as a changeup. Do ring around the posy. Just throw it. But three of the four teams aren't here if they don't have that balance. And also, again, the ability to stop the run, obviously, too. I mean, it's always going to matter.
Yeah. And then, like you said, you brought up the Chiefs, 27-20. It looked like they could be in some trouble from the standpoint of Patrick Mahomes goes down. I don't know if you saw the replay, but that was rough looking. Like, the replay of his foot, I thought for sure that he may be done in that game. But he comes back in the second half. I mean, really, after he got injured, the offense didn't look great after that. He was hobbling around out there. They get the win 27-20, so they're going to their fifth consecutive AFC title game. And now kind of the story for them is, how healthy is Patrick Mahomes going to be as the championship game comes around on Sunday? He's talked about, you know, he's going to be playing. He said that immediately after the game, but he could barely move by the end of that game on Saturday night.
I think someone who covers the NFL, oh, I think it was Michelle, responded to it, which was good.
Rich Eisen,
yeah.
It's like, yeah, we know of one here, and he came back in, and then the next week, nope, no way. Yeah, I think it's going to be touch and go this week, and I would not be surprised if he can't do it, in which case I don't see the Chiefs. I don't see how they – I mean, a good job by Henny in that game coming in cold, and he led the touchdown drive, but I don't see it, man. And another thing about that play is, I hope it wasn't intentional. Man, it looked like he kind of fell on it. Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to – like, I can't get in his head, Arden Key's head, and say for sure that he took the opportunity to smash on that leg, but it kind of looks like it.
I mean, he wasn't really trying to wrap him up. He just kind of fell.
Right.
Which I'm not saying you can't fall.
It's like a wrestling move or something.
Right. Like, I'm not saying you can't fall on the football field, but it looked a little shaky out there.
Yeah. I haven't seen reaction, but I've been wondering if there's any reaction from the Chiefs about that, you know?
Yeah, I don't
know. Because I don't know. It's hard to know for sure, obviously, but it didn't look good.
Did not look good, but the AFC title game is set. The Kansas City Chiefs hosting the Cincinnati Bengals, as Joe Burrow said yesterday. Hope folks got the refund from the game that was supposed to be in Atlanta between the Bills and the Chiefs. Burrow's got some one-liners out there. Pretty good stuff.
Yes. Yeah, he's pretty good, man.
He's pretty darn good. On the NFC side of things, the Eagles take down the Giants in an absolute dud of a game on Saturday night. 38-7, the final score. It was really impressive to watch them play. And look, I think all of us thought that the Giants could give them certainly a better game than they did. I thought they could give them a really good game. I think we all took them plus the 7.5 or whatever the line was. And just a dominant performance from the Eagles. They ran the ball really well. Their defense was lights out in that game. And 38-7 kind of speaks for itself. So they'll be hosting the NFC title game, taking on the San Francisco 49ers in what was a defensive struggle yesterday between the Cowboys and the Niners. One touchdown scored for the Niners in the game, 4 field goals, and they win 19-12. Impressive last play of the game that a lot of people are talking about today between the Cowboys and the Niners, with Zeke Elliott snapping the ball and then promptly getting slammed into the center of the earth. It was quite something to end the game between the Cowboys and the Niners yesterday.
I mean, I want to see what, you know, I know it's your basic lateral play, but I kind of wanted to see what else they had in that play.
I did too.
I'd like to know how often they've tried it. I don't hate the idea. On the plays like that, like, why do you need five linemen? Like, get some people who can run.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, you can't, like, let your, you know, have the first aspect of it just get destroyed before he can even like, grab the ball.
It was over so quickly. Like, I was trying to process. I was like, is that Zeke Elliott? And then he snapped the ball, and it was over so quickly. I was like, what just happened? What was that? It was amazing.
Yeah, and beyond that, yeah, Dak. I mean, it's not just about him, but, you know.
Yeah.
He's good. He's a good quarterback, but he certainly – and I don't think he ever did, you know, belong in the top. People who wanted to put him there, I think that – can we end that?
Yes.
You know, like the top five, six or whatever? No. But I still thought – I guess I still think, like, he's a top half of the league quarterback.
I think he is.
He had a bad year with turnovers this year. But yeah, this is going to be really interesting to see because they have a lot of pieces. I mean, a really good football team, you know. They have one of the, I think, better collections of defensive talent in the league. And we're sure that Mike McCarthy's safe? Because I know he has said he's safe, but yeah. We're sure of that.
Also, guys, I don't know if you saw this morning, Tony Pollard suffered a fractured left fibula.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah.
And that changed the game, too, some. I mean, he's a big part of what they do, but that's awful.
I mean – Sean Payton's still out there, isn't he?
He is.
As long as he's still out there, I don't know that I'm sure that Mike McCarthy's safe.
He prefers Houston to Texas, though.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, yeah.
Houston, Dallas. Yeah.
Did I say to Texas?
Yes.
Yeah. Let me tell you, man. We had like absolute crumbs of coffee grounds at my house today. Actually, I got to tell Katie, like, sorry, but there's no coffee.
Yeah, we got to be better.
This is a problem.
That's right.
How could you do that to Katie?
I had to be able to get in here. I'm sorry.
I will say though. Now that conference championship weekend is set, it should be this way, but sometimes it's not. I'm really excited. Like I think if Mahomes is healthy, I think Chiefs and Bengals can be really good. It was last year. And then on the other side of things, it's kind of, in a way, two different styles. Like you've got, first off, Philly. I guess I just keep underestimating because I keep thinking, oh, well, maybe they'll – like, I thought the Giants had a legitimate chance to win the game on Saturday.
I did, too.
And then they go out and they just totally blow them out. And you look at them on both lines of scrimmage, and you're like, man, they got the best offensive line in the league. Their defensive line is really good. They're just a really good football team. So, you know, I've said heading into the playoffs, the Niners were my pick to come out of the NFC. So I'm going to stick with it. But I will say Philadelphia looks really good. It should be a really fun conference championship weekend.
Yeah, and I think it's is it the clear top four? I mean, I still think the Bills, like, you know, should be in that group, but they don't have the balance.
I think it's the clear top four. I do, which is – that's what you want
that's
this
what
time
you want.
Of year when it comes around. 615-737-1025. We're off and running on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the divisional weekend in the NFL playoffs. We'll also get to the press conference with Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel over the weekend as well. Get Rex Road's thoughts on that. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. So we've discussed the divisional weekend in the NFL playoffs, which, honestly, was largely a dud outside of the Niners-Cowboys game last night in terms of the final score and the margin. But the conference championship matchups are set. Eagles hosting the 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs hosting the Cincinnati Bengals. So looking forward to conference championship weekend coming up next weekend. And another big story here locally over the weekend, the Tennessee Titans introducing Rand Carthon as their general manager on Friday. And Joe, we talked a lot last week about the hiring of Rand Carthon. You were there on Friday for his introductory press conference. Mike Vrabel speaking at the introductory press conference as well. What were some of your takeaways from Rand Carthon on Friday as he was introduced as the general manager of the Tennessee Titans?
Well, for whatever it's worth, it was a very impressive press conference. I mean, I just thought he was really good. You know, I thought his answers were good. You know, I thought in a – I mean, that's a high-pressure moment, you know, for someone who, you know, has been kind of behind the scenes, pretty much behind the scenes. You know, people around here, you know, around the league knew who, like, Ryan Cowden was, for example, Robinson's number two, right? But, you know, this is a – you have your first opportunity to have a job like this. Now, all of a sudden, it is a totally different deal in terms of attention and media coverage and everything. I thought it – I mean, it was a really good press conference. And I think the big takeaways that I had in terms of what he said about, you know, his job and this team, I do feel like there was more emphatic comments about Derrick Henry than there were about Ryan Tannehill.
I would agree.
Now, if you would have asked me going in, I would have expected as non-committal as possible about both, right?
Yeah.
So what he said about Tannehill, and you know, like I didn't take that. I was like, yeah, that's exactly what you say. Like you know, yep, done a great job, and it's early,
yep,
and we got a lot of things to talk about, right? The whole football team. But – I mean, I don't know, just the stuff maybe I'm taking too much or reading too much into the comments on Derrick Henry, but it just sounded like someone who intended to have Derrick Henry around. Now, I will say, you know, the running game stuff he said, I thought, well, one of the strongest quotes of the day, you know, you play that Golden State Warriors, don't rip my Warriors, please, but, you know, that Golden State Warriors football, September, October, you got to, first of all, I agree with him, and I think we're seeing it play out, other than if you're the freaking Chiefs.
Although they did run the ball for 144 yards on Saturday.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, Pacheco had a 40
yard. He had that big run. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Cross the board. They're a running team now, too. But no, I mean, but first of all, I totally agree with them. I wouldn't necessarily take that, though, as confirmation that it's Derrick Henry who's going to run the. I mean, look, I think Derrick Henry's going to be back next year, but I'm just saying that can still be separated from the Derrick Henry discussion, you know? Certainly. He told a really cool story about Elijah Mitchell and finding him and what it is, you know, the whole collaboration, what it's supposed to be is exactly that. It's like you got your analytics guy like, man, I mean, this is telling me he's the best outside zone runner. That's, of course, what they run. It's the same offense the Titans run. It looks different with them sometimes, especially than last year with the Titans. But, you know, coming to him, can you – to watch the film, he agrees. They get the linebackers coach because they were going to take a linebacker to agree to, no, we'll take this running back instead. It's a good thing for them they did. Turned out to be a huge pick late in the draft, and they've had a ton of them. And, of course, the analytics discussion there is key. And, you know, that's one of those things that I know, you know, Vrabel has definitely gotten mad about that being brought up, I think, because the Titans formally don't have – they have not had the formal analytics investment or, you know, just structure in their in the building that other teams have had. I think he got asked about analytics after the season and was like, okay, let's go through it all. Yeah. You know, so it's not like they dismiss analytics and haven't used it, but this will be a more beefed up official analytics department here. So for people who, you know, want to see that or think they haven't used it enough, I don't think that's going to be any discussion any longer now with Rand Carthon here.
I thought, number one, I agree with you. I thought he was really impressive. I enjoyed the press conference. I knew that the word collaboration would be used a few times.
Oh,
it
yes.
It was used a few times in that press conference. And, you know, the idea of, you know, they were asked a couple of different times about, you know, final say, which we knew they would be.
Oh,
no,
sure.
They did about as impressive of a sidestepping job to that question as you can do, which I don't think is a big surprise there. You know, Carthon's answer was basically, doesn't matter who has final say. So you can read into that what you will. But, you know, I will say I thought he handled the press conference really well. And now we get to what matters, and that is decisions that you have to make with the roster and the draft and all those things. The story is still yet to be told on the job that Rand Carthon's going to do as Titans general manager. But, I mean, from everything we learned about him last week, from some people that you talked with and just the stories that we've heard about Rand Carthon – I thought Friday was confirmation of, yeah, this guy's pretty impressive. He knows what he's doing in there, and we'll see how it translates to the general manager job. I did find, number one, we'll get to his comments on Ryan Tannehill coming up in the next segment, but I did find the Derrick Henry comments pretty intriguing too. Like, obviously, you have to remember that you're talking about a former NFL running back here, right? So he played the position, and obviously I would assume that he's got a pretty vested interest in the running back position. But I mean, he was talking about Derrick Henry like, yeah, man, I can't wait to size him up and just see how big he actually is. And I don't know, maybe that's just one of those things where you read too much into comments, but that certainly made it sound like to me that, yeah, he's planning on they're planning on having Derrick Henry back in there in a Titans uniform next year, which, I mean, he's not a huge surprise, but I do wonder if we're reading too much into that or if they're just like, yeah, Derrick Henry's going to be back next year.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe he wants to size him up and say, hey, and by the way, we're trading you. So it was great to see you. I see you're huge, and I can tell the GM I'm trading you to that, yep, he's as big as I thought he was.
You going to fit on this first-class seat to Carolina? Okay, all right.
Yeah. Who knows? Yeah, I wouldn't say anything he said in all seriousness locks him in to anything. But, yeah, it's impossible to not listen to that and kind of and have that thought, right?
Yeah.
Like, and yeah, it's interesting because I through this whole thing, I've kind of at first I kind of thought about it like it's those two here or those two elsewhere. Certainly you could, I know some people who think it's more likely. Well, was it Hasselbeck, right? Is it Hasselbeck who was like, he thinks maybe it's more likely Tannehill back, Henry not.
Yeah.
I think if I'm not, I may be wrong on that, but that's definitely been people.
No, I think you're right.
Okay. Yeah. Talked about that. I still kind of think of it as it's either you're running back with the backfield or you're not. And I think they probably will, but I don't know. It's all, nothing is locked in right now.
Well, I can tell you this, the most enjoyable part of the press conference to me was when Jared asked about why Craig Aukerman is still on the team and hasn't been fired. And the back and forth between he and Vrabel there may have been my favorite answer from Mike Vrabel of all time. Look, I'm glad Jared asked the question. It's a fair question. But the back and forth between Jared and Vrabel on Craig Aukerman was one of the greatest things I think I've ever seen.
But Jared, you know, I heard some of his reaction afterward, and he went through every single missed field goal they've ever had under Aukerman and, like, all these things that he had. He had a chance to say his piece, and, I mean, I know Vrabel kind of didn't give him too much time, but he didn't say much, man. That's what Kaharski had to say. Why did you say this and this and this, Jared? And, you know, and Jared slunk away and did his show. But, no, it was pretty entertaining. I mean, I tweeted right when it happened. I'm like, do we have to waste time on this today?
Time and place.
Why,
and
like,
place.
Why didn't you fire Craig Aukerman?
It was worth it.
I mean, it's a. I need a Stillman Aukerman debate. What I need.
I mean, very, very rarely do you see like Vrabel like half laughing to himself in the middle of an answer in press conference. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, it was entertaining, but like you don't have that much time up there. There were more pressing things to talk about.
Oh, man. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. What did you make of the introductory press conference from Rand Carthon on Friday with the Tennessee Titans? We'll take your thoughts on that. We'll also get into his comments on Ryan Tannehill coming up next as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Former running back and watching Derrick Henry throughout these years, specifically the success that he's had in this organization. What are your thoughts on him as a back and now being able to be here with a guy like that?
Man, it's crazy. Like, I've been watching Derrick since he was at Yulee, you know, high school, Florida boy. So it's crazy to see how I remember Coach Parcells told me one time, running back is a production base. Position. If you didn't get yards in high school and college, you're not getting them on this level. And if you look at Derrick's history, he got yards in high school, he got them in college, and he's got them at this level. And, you know, more than anything, I can't wait to stand next to him to size him up, you know, to see how big he really is in person.
That was Titans general manager Rand Carthon over the weekend at his introductory press conference on Friday discussing Derrick Henry. Some strong comments there on Derrick Henry. I do think, first off, I think we've talked about that before, like the yards being an indicator, being a production-based business at the running back position. Like if you're not getting them in high school, you're not getting them in college, very rarely are you getting them at the NFL level. So an interesting point there. But, yeah, I mean, that was – I thought those comments were pretty eye-opening from Rand Carthon on Friday. Zach from Nashville on the text line says, overall, Carthon and Vrabel had great press conferences and said the right things to instill some confidence that this team is on the road to success, but still have to get a car that works to get you there. Was a little disappointed there was no follow-up on the OC search. The word numerous was used. Would have liked to know how many is numerous and who they've interviewed. This from Zach in Nashville on the text line.
And I responded to him. They would never talk about being about who's being interviewed, how many, you know. They never will. They'll hire someone. They'll never talk about who else they interviewed. So that doesn't – I mean, that's not going to – that was never going to come out. But, yeah, numerous was an interesting word there.
It means more than one.
By Vrabel, yeah. I guess it could be just two, yeah. Right? But numerous to me, numerous –
it's like five,
yeah,
or six.
Says like a few, right? And that's how I take it. I mean, if you say numerous and it's two, come on. It's not two, right?
I'm just saying.
Numerous, one and two.
I think
a handful.
Numerous, the definition is great in number, many.
Yeah.
So it depends on how many is great in number to you.
But then again, I guess that same online dictionary thinks a bye is just when you have an off week. So society is crumbling.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, that was interesting. And I asked Vrabel about, the scheme, and he kind of didn't answer it. But look, they have had a specific scheme. They have had this scheme. It's different OCs, same scheme, since Vrabel's been here. So I guess I would take his answer. And again, the question was basically like, are you open to changing the scheme? And then he kind of basically talked about they want to do different things, and that's fine. But
yep.
Like this offense is absolutely like it has been the same offense. So I guess I take that as yes.
I guess so.
I mean, if I had to choose a yes or no based on his answer, I guess I would say
it was a yes. Yeah.
And, the idea of reaching out to, the Kansas City guys, yes, could be just, picking their brain or whatever. But are you really going to go through an interview process or if you're not at least somewhat entertaining the possibility of going to that offense?
Yeah, it's a great question. And so we heard Rand Carthon's comments on Derrick Henry. He was also asked about Ryan Tannehill and his thoughts on the Titans quarterback as they prepare to make a decision on Tannehill this offseason. Here's what Rand Carthon had to say on Ryan Tannehill on Friday.
Ray, what do you think of Ryan Tannehill, and is he your quarterback?
I don't think that's fair. At this point, we're still evaluating the roster. I am, and that's going to take further conversations with me and Mike. Ryan has been great here. He's won a lot of football games, and I look forward to us winning football games, but I still need more time, to evaluate and make those decisions. As you know, this is a quarterback-driven league, and people are hired and fired every day over that position. So I want to spend more time evaluating that position, so I'll have my own opinion, and Mike and I will confer and figure it out.
So that was Rand Carthon on Ryan Tannehill. Like you said, there was nothing that was really in that answer to me, Joe, that was surprising. And I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, that he was asked about Tannehill before he was asked about Derrick Henry. So the Tannehill, when he had that answer, I was like, okay, I mean, that's about what I expected him to have. Now, when you match up the two, it is fair to say he was much stronger on Derrick Henry being effusive for praise there. Does it mean anything? I guess we'll find out. There's one part of it, though, that I did find interesting in his answer there, and that was the last part of it, talking about being a quarterback-driven league and people are hired and fired every day over that position, want to spend more time evaluating, so I'll have your own opinion. He's right. It is a quarterback-driven league, and that's the majority of the reason, especially as a general manager, when you look around the league, maybe not here with the Titans, but around the league, when general managers get fired, it's typically because a quarterback pick doesn't work out. I'm very interested, when he and Vrabel get together and Carthon approaches Vrabel with his opinion on Tannehill, whatever that opinion may be, how much consideration they give to moving on from Ryan Tannehill. I think it's going to be something that is a legitimate conversation. this offseason. I don't know if it happens or not, but I found the last part of that answer pretty interesting from Carthon.
Yeah. No, yeah, again, it's accurate. So it's like, obviously, like we all know that, right? But yeah, it says, hey, like this has got to be really, really carefully considered. I mean, there are situations where a GM would come into a team and there'd be no question, right?
Right.
I mean, it could, you know, like he could have said, hey, he's under contract. He's a great quarterback. You know, he could have been more effusive or, but again, I think that being noncommittal is the way to go at this point. I know he and Vrabel have, like Vrabel talked about, obviously the interview, but even beyond the interview, they've already talked a lot. As I think Vrabel said, they spent, or, you know, like a day, you know, after he got hired, just talking through everything. So they probably know where they're at this point. But,
well, and to that point, I'm not saying that you figure out everything in the interview process here, but I can't imagine that the subject of Ryan Tannehill wasn't at least broached pretty significantly in the interview process when you were making the decision to hire Rand Carthon. So again, I'm not saying that he had to figure out then like which way are you going with Ryan Tannehill before we hire you, but I would imagine there was pretty in-depth conversation about the quarterback.
Yeah, but I'm sure there was. I'm sure there was an in-depth conversation. So do you think that his answer on a Tannehill question, whichever way it went, could have influenced him getting the job?
I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine you going through that interview process and not trying to figure out what the plan is at quarterback, both now but also in the future. Like, either way, regardless if Tannehill's back this next season or not, you're getting pretty close to a point where you're going to have to make a decision on what to do for your quarterback in the future. So I would hope that if you're making that decision on general manager, your thought process is, if you're Amy Adams Strunk, is, well, this next GM that I hire is going to be the person that brings in the next quarterback, whether that's now or whether that's a year or two from now. So if that's not a part of your interview process, oh boy, I would be concerned at that point. Like, what's your plan? What's your view on quarterback and how to go find one that you can compete with Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes and all these different quarterbacks in the AFC?
Yeah, I agree. Now, another interesting thing with that is, obviously, the clock is just starting on Rand Carthon. And,
yep,
again, final say, like, to me, you know, that becomes a thing if things go poorly. I mean,
yep,
ultimately, like, if they have a good draft this year, and again, I mean, how many teams, like, in the immediate wake of the draft – are you like, oh, man. I mean, you know, there was Caleb Farley questions last year. You trade A.J. Brown. So I guess the last couple of years it's been a little bit contentious. But for the most part, everybody wins the draft, and, you know, you can find someone who gives your draft a good grade. But if that goes well, if they're winning next year, as long as they're winning, no one cares. It's when, you know, who made this mistake that it comes up. But the clock just started on Carthon, right? And they just hired him. And I've never seen a GM hire more celebrated. Maybe it is around the league now. I don't know. I mean, these team social media people do a lot of stuff, but this was a celebrated hire. Clock's starting on him. Clock's not starting on Vrabel. Now, I've talked to another media person, you know, who's like, what is Vrabel, like, probably next year, or then he's fired if they don't turn around. I'm like, I don't know if I really think that.
I don't either.
But still, if you're Vrabel, if you're Carthon, you can entertain any sort of rebuild, right? Like, just in terms of your job. Like, they are not. We can call them Vray-Ran, but they are not tied together the way Robinson and Vrabel were, right? So Carthon is like, he's going to get a chance to go get the franchise quarterback. Again, I'm with you. I think Vrabel's fine too, but it is a little bit different, isn't it?
Yeah,
after losing seven straight games and your GM was fired and a bunch of your staff members, you fired them, whether it was all your idea or not.
Yeah.
So, like, I guess what I'm saying is, like, I would think that Vrabel would be a little more bullish on Tannehill coming back and, like, okay, what can we do A, B, C to fix this and get back to at least being a winning team next year?
Well, to that point, like, if I'm – let's say I'm in Rand Carthon's shoes, which, by the way, shoes look great on Friday. But let's say I'm
nice
in Rand Carthon's shoes heading into this job. Like, if I love one of the quarterbacks in the draft this year, or I'm looking ahead to 2024 and thinking to myself, man, it'd be nice to have a Drake May or a Caleb Williams, all that stuff. Like, I think you can allow yourself to think that way just because you're trying to figure out the long-term answer at quarterback. It is different for Vrabel. Like, do you want to put yourself in a position where in order to go get one of those quarterbacks, you have to be really bad? And you know that if you're really bad in the NFL, a lot of times you lose your job, especially when a new general manager has been hired. Like, we've talked about this. Like, I can't imagine that Vrabel wants any part of a rebuild of any kind.
Yeah, certainly, he certainly doesn't want any part in losing.
Correct.
You know, that's why I have floated the Fank.
Yes.
Because you can still, you know, if you're giving, you know, your second year, third round pick quarterback a chance and you just happen to lose a lot because he's not very good, then you find that out and then you have a good draft pick. But yeah, Vrabel on board for anything that's not winning football? I don't know.
It's hard to see.
No. But that's the thing. So what if Carthon, he's not going to, he didn't, and he won't say what he thinks about Tannehill. But what if he doesn't think much of him?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, what if Vrabel wants Tannehill back because he looks around and he says, all right, there's nobody that we can get realistically that gives me a better option to win next year than Ryan Tannehill. Not in the future, but just next year. Nobody gives me a better option than Ryan Tannehill. And what if Carthon looks around and says, yeah, well, great, but we can go find another quarterback, and then 2-3 years down the road, we could be really good. Like, that could be a discussion that they have this offseason.
I would not be surprised at all if, and I've had this discussion with Jared because, like, you know, Mike Sando for The Athletic does those QB tiers, right? And there's no question that there are some GMs around the league who think very little of Tannehill. Now, yes. I think there's naturally probably a higher opinion of him, like, actually for personnel people than like media people and fans. I think there's a huge, like, he stinks from a, which I think people are wrong about.
Yeah.
But I'm bottom line is I wouldn't be surprised if Vrabel has much higher opinion of Tannehill than Carthon does at this point.
Yep.
No, so those discussions would be fascinating.
They absolutely would be. We'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. What did you make of Rand Carthon's comments on Ryan Tannehill and what it could mean for the future of the quarterback position for the Titans? We'll get to that. We'll also get to an interesting bit of news that Tom Pelissero just put out there as it relates to a Tennessee Titans staffer. That's coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. I guess a little bit of, does this qualify as breaking news? We're gonna count it as breaking news.
Sure.
A breaking report from Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network. Quote, the Chargers will interview Titans tight ends coach Luke Steckel for their offensive coordinator job this week. Per sources, Steckel is a fascinating name. He's 37, a Princeton grad, highly intelligent, and widely respected by players and peers. The next Ben Johnson? Question mark. End quote from Tom Pelissero. The Chargers apparently interviewing Titans tight end coach Luke Steckel for their OC job.
Did not see that one coming.
I didn't either.
If that's if he's that impressive, why would he not be a candidate here?
Maybe he is. Maybe he's one of the numerous people.
That would help it make it more numerous.
It would.
If it wasn't just Tim Kelly, it was Luke Steckel. I mean, obviously, Vrabel has promoted two tight ends coaches to OC.
That is true.
So
maybe he's been the favorite all along.
Who knows? That's really interesting. And obviously, also, you know, on this front, we haven't talked about it, but Chris Harris, the Titans grabbing him.
Not from, of WSMV, yes.
What's that?
Not Chris Harris of WSMV here in Nashville.
That's right. Although I'm sure he also could be a very good
defensive back. A great cornerback coach. Yeah,
yes. Yes. I'm sure he could.
Yeah. He's also a leader. But that guy, he's very respected. Now, you know, the original report, I guess it was actually Pelissero too, like the way he tweeted, I know there was a lot of confusion, like, because, again, the point, and this is what I was told from a source, you know, on, I guess it was Saturday, right? Like, I mean, they can't block somebody from looking at Chris Harris as DC, obviously. So they right. could lose him. And, of course, if you're Chris Harris and someone wanted to offer you the – and apparently the Bears are one team who have expressed some interest in him as DC. So – but, I mean, it's I'm guessing right now he's probably not going to get a DC job this cycle. So if that's the case, he will be here as the DB coach. And maybe there's some title – is there some, like, passing – stopping the game, stopping the pass coordinator or whatever. But that's
pass
a
blocker.
Yeah.
Get
yeah.
off the field coordinator.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, that's an upgrade based on what he's done. Very respected for what he did in Washington last couple of years. So that could be a good upgrade. And that's what you're trying to do. Fire all these coaches, upgrade them.
Yes.
On them.
That is what you're trying to do. Alex from Montreal on the text line says, when Carthon said that he wants to learn Vrabel's system to get him the right players for him to win, was that a way of not tying himself down the road? I guess meaning that if it doesn't work out, he just says, yeah, well, I was trying to get Vrabel's players. Didn't work out, so we can go get my own now. I didn't read it that way. I think it was just –
I think you're taking a leap there. Yeah, he's just saying – I mean, look, he said it in a few different ways, which is – and it's how it should be. I mean, it really just comes down to, like, if you have some there's two people available at 11, and Carthon loves this guy, and Vrabel loves this other guy. Who wins, right? I mean, but ultimately, the way he was describing it is exactly how it should be. The GM should be getting the coach's players, and the coach should be involved in the process, and they should be talking about every single pick they make. Mike Vrabel had plenty of input as head coach, and maybe, you know, did he have more input as time went on? I don't know. He didn't have enough input to stop the A.J. Brown trade.
He did not. But
he had plenty of input. That's what the GM's supposed to do. The GM, like he said, I'm not just here collecting talent. Like, man, this guy's great. Oh, let's take him. Oh, yeah. Tell Vrabel, by the way. Like, this guy's really good. No. You have to get players who fit what the coach wants to do to win football games.
Liam on the text line says, Jared said we'd hear about who interviews for OC because agents leaked that info to get their client's name out there. Is that true, Joe? This is from Liam on the text line.
This is going back on what I said about, yeah, sure. Yes, of course. Yes, the agents are the ones who leak who interviewed. Yeah. I'm saying someone asked earlier about, like, I wish there was more follow-up in the presser on Numerous, and I'm just saying Vrabel's not up there. And we talked to Nagy now.
Right.
Bienemy didn't return my calls. I kind of pissed at him.
Right, but you I guess, Liam, the point is, like, do you think we would have heard, if they had interviewed, like, eight people for OC, do you think we would have heard about all eight just based on the agents?
Not necessarily, yeah. I mean, I think it just depends. I think some people and some agents are much more – into making sure everybody knows, and some people don't care as much about that. But right there, Pelissero, I'm guessing an agent told him that.
But the teams aren't required to put it out there like they are for GM.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, right. Exactly. And that's pretty new, really. Even that whole thing just kind of still weirds me out. Yeah.
We have completed an interview process.
Yeah, I mean, that's only been like, what?
4 years,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, maybe. Something like that. But yeah, not with OCs, yeah.
LD from McMinnville says, thinking ahead, can the Titans get themselves into top quarterback draft position by running it back with Tannehill? This is from LD from McMinnville. That is a great question, and it's a question I think the answer is no. Like, if Tannehill's back and he's healthy, and which is obviously a big key, if he stays healthy next year, I would assume whatever the Titans try to do on the offensive line, I can't imagine it wouldn't be at least somewhat of an upgrade over what they trotted out there last year at the end of this past season. Do you go get another receiver? All these things. But the bottom line is, like, if Tannehill and Henry are back and Tannehill remains healthy, are you a Super Bowl contender? They got a whole lot of work to do before they get to that point, in my mind. But I think there's, like, a baseline of how good you're going to be if he stays healthy and is in there on a daily basis, and you're not going to be picking at the top of the draft unless – you have a third season in a row where everybody around you just gets hurt all the time. I can't imagine that being the case.
Yeah, I would agree. I think top drafts, that's the thing. So you look at this draft, at 11, I mean, you are, like, that pick obviously gives you a little bit more possibility to move up than 20, you know, 22.
Right.
So just being at 11 this year, if you really loved one of these quarterbacks, you're gonna have to trade that, obviously, and you're gonna have to trade more. You have to trade more picks and maybe a veteran. I mean, but it is possible this year to move up and go get your quarterback if you think that you've got your quarterback. I mean, I that's the thing. Carthon's asked about Tannehill, and it's fine, Jared. That's a much better question than why didn't you fire Ackerman? But you know, obviously, this draft process to me, there is no question, and I think last year it was true too. But there is no question they have got to be approaching this draft like they're drafting a quarterback. Doesn't mean they are, but like they have to be, as like they have to their interviews and everything. You know, it's got to be very much like let's make sure. Or let's see if we have someone that we would actually go up to get, or make sure that we wouldn't want to. You have to. So they are. So like even asking that question right now, obviously, it's like the draft process is going to be hugely important, and this is the year they could have an easier time than next year. Because I agree, you know, they're going to try to fix some things. They might successfully fix some things. If you ran Carthon, you sure as heck want to be successful in your first offseason sure. with signings and draftees that help fix your team and make you better, so you can say, look. I'm fixing this. And if you do that now, next year, how the heck are you getting up there to get one of those quarterbacks?
That's the thing. Like, they're in a really interesting spot from the standpoint of you're trying to win. Like, you're trying to do whatever you can do to fix the offensive line. Obviously, you need to address the receiving core. I mean, there's a laundry list of things that Carthon has to figure out this offseason where you're trying to make the team better. But at the same time, like, putting your GM hat on, you also got to think about, all right, well, what is quarterback going to look like down the road? Like, how are you going to find an answer at quarterback? And, I mean, to Ryan Tannehill's credit, I thought he was pretty good last year when he was healthy, especially given the situation around him. So I think there's a chance that if you can improve some things, he can come back next year and he can be pretty good and you can be back in the playoffs and all these different things can happen. But you still eventually have to figure out quarterback. Like, how do you do that if you're Carthon and still trying to improve this roster at the same time? It's a very difficult needle to thread if you try to do it that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting because I still think it's hard to do. You'd have to be perfect to really get back where you want to be next year.
Agreed.
It's not impossible. But that's the thing. If it's your 7-7 down the stretch and you're trying to sneak in as a wild card, then it starts to feel a little bit more like the other team around here.
It starts to feel like that a lot. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on the quarterback position next, including why I think it may be time to view the quarterback position a little differently if you're Rand Carthon and the Titans around here, maybe as soon as this offseason. We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.